Hello, folks. This is Josh Turner with PRT. This is Paranormal Roundtable, and I'm your host. I will be with my co-host slash guest, Carrie Eaton. She's back for part two of our Dogman, Werewolf, and Bigfoot discussion that we're having. And before we go into that, though, I'm going to give you my email address. It's prtpodcast.com, Josh Turner at prtpodcast.com. That's Josh Turner at prtpodcast.com. Send me your stories. We have the website, prtpodcast.com, with all of our shows on the archives, except for, I believe, the Q&As are strictly on YouTube. We do a Q&A on YouTube every Tuesday, and you can donate to the show, and you can help out and help the show keep going. And we have a merchandise store at prtpodcast.com. We have groups. We have we'll start off with Carrie Eaton's group, Dogman Believers Only. It's one of the oldest and largest Dogman groups in the on the entire Facebook. So we have my secondary show that I do with Ryan Trembley. It comes out on Sundays, and it is a Whisper to a Scream podcast, and we talk about different cryptids every week. And then we have, of course, PRT that you're listening to right now, and it drops every Friday at 7 p.m., Friday at 7 p.m. Central. Those are all Central times. So join us for the Q&A on Tuesdays. And another thing I wanted to talk about before we get back to talking with our guest here, we have groups. So join Dogman Believers Only group if you're into the subject, and you can behave yourself, because none of us like someone who's going to get on there and be a naughty person and act a fool. So we don't want that kind of behavior. So, but if you're going to behave yourself, then join our groups, Paranormal Roundtable. It's part of the show. It's sort of the group representing the show on Facebook. And we talk about all kinds of weird stuff on there. We have all kinds of stories. People post artwork, pictures, all kinds of things. And you can do that on our website too, prtpodcast.com. But also Paranormal Encounters, which belongs to Moose Shoe. That's his baby. And then the group Paranormal Lounge, which belongs to Nellie Turner, my wife. And she handles all that. And we also have a Whisper to a Scream group, which is connected to the Whisper to a Scream podcast that I co-host with Ryan Trembley. And he's pretty good. He's got good stuff. Check him out. And he's a friend of all of ours. And Carrie's a friend of ours. And I've known Carrie for a long time. She's been very supportive of my work and very positive person. So we're going to get right back into her talking about her encounters. She's had a lot of weird stuff happen with Dogman, with Bigfoot, and with Werewolf. So we're going to talk right now. We're going to start right now. So Carrie, where we left off last week, we kind of left everybody hanging, and that we're going to get back into it. You were going to talk about your werewolf encounter. What I believe is werewolf encounter. Now, you told me yourself it wasn't like 100%, like you know that this is what it was, but when you look at the evidence, it kind of points to that. So let's go ahead and you can lay down the groundwork for that, and let's get started on that story.
Okay. So, if you're familiar at all with Colorado, you have Denver on the east side of the mountains, and you have Grand Junction on the west side of the mountains, and they're connected by I-70. So at the time, I was living in Grand Junction, and we were going to move back into the mountains as I grew up in Eagle. And I was moving back to Eagle from Grand Junction. I was pregnant, big as a house pregnant. So it was probably around July of that year, maybe August. And my roommate, which her name, I'm going to refrain from saying her name. I had known her most of my life. She had had a house down in Grand Junction. She had two children, and I had been living with her, and we decided that we didn't like it down there. We were all going to move back up to where we'd grown up. And on that same day, my mom was moving to Denver. So we were to go pick up some stuff in Eagle. We started in Grand Junction, drove to Eagle. That's 2.5 hours. And then picked the stuff up, we dropped some of our stuff off and then picked her, my mom's stuff up and brought it to Denver, which is another 2.5 hours. Now my car is a little slow, so it was probably closer to 6 hours. And then when we got done dropping the stuff off, then we turned around and drove back to Grand Junction, which is another 5 to 6 hours. So we get to Grand Junction, and we really wanted to just go to sleep and head out in the morning, but all of our beds, everything was gone. We didn't have anywhere to sleep. My friend had her two small children, and I was like, you know what, let's just go. So we loaded up the last little bit of our stuff, which wasn't much. We just had a little Datsun. I had a little Datsun B210. And we're driving and driving and driving. We get almost to Glenwood Springs, and we decided, you know, hey, let's just pull over in West Glenwood, and we will stretch our legs. So we pull off of the interstate. Now, if you take a left and go under the underpass, you can go over. There's a mall over there, but we didn't want to go over that way. We went to the right and towards the river. There's a little field back there at that time. I mean, this was, if I was pregnant, that would have been 1992. And there's a little field. It's the middle of the night by now. And we park and we get out and we start walking, kind of a trail. But there's weeds all over the place. And we look over, and right off the trail is this pile of clothes. And it's like a pair of black biker boots. And like they had just pushed their jeans down on top of the boots and then taken the shirt off and thrown it on top of that. There was even like a wallet in the back pocket with the chain that goes from the wallet to the belt. I mean, the belt was there, everything. And we just were like looking at it and we're going, oh boy, looking around, because there was a little rafting company that had a little shed over there at the time. I think they still have a business there, but now I think they have a bigger building. And there's sidewalks and stuff down there now, and there's all kinds of buildings down there now, and car dealerships and hotels. And it's all right on the edge of the Colorado River. But we're thinking, middle of the night, two little kids with us, we're thinking, great, we're going to see naked guy. Somebody's out here skinny dipping. Which, of course, you know, we didn't want to see that. So we're looking around like, should we even be out here? Not really thinking much of it. And my friend was walking ahead of me with her two daughters, like a step ahead of her, one on either side. And I'm still kind of looking back at the clothes going, that's really weird. And all of a sudden, my friend like leans forward, throws her arms out like mama safety belt, and starts backing up. And she's like doing the oh, oh, you know, noises. And she goes around me, and I'm still standing there, and I look over. And I mean, we weren't that far away from it. But standing behind a tree is huge. The only way I can describe it, werewolf. And he's gray, and his eyes are like bluish green. I mean, we were close enough to see the details. He never raised a lip, just watched us with this kind of bemused amusement. This look on its face like, oh, you can see me, but do you recognize me? You should recognize me. And that's kind of what went through my head. I mean, it was obviously, it was easily 10, 11 feet tall. Easily. Looking over the crook of the tree. And moved around a bit. We could see it had a tail. We could see it had hands. It was like fingers that were like weird. Like, I've seen representations on the internet over the years of like a hand, like a pad of a paw that is fingers. And it just, every once in a while I'll see that and think, oh my God. But I just stood there for a second. I was just like, that was the last, I mean, I expected to see a naked man running around down there because of the clothes, but I backed up and my friend took off. She was in the car. She was in the driver's seat. Thank God I had the keys in my hand, in my pocket, because if I didn't, she probably would have left me. She was terrified. So I back up, but it's been ingrained into my head my entire life. You do not run. You don't let fear override. People that run from wild animals get killed by wild animals. You don't run from bears. You don't run from mountain lions. I didn't know what this thing was, but in my head, I'm like, that's a werewolf. And I got in the car, handed her the keys, and she drove. And we hauled butt. We went home. So we get there and get home to my house. Actually, not home, but we got to my dad's house. And she stayed with me that night. And then by the next day, we had talked ourselves into, yeah, we probably didn't see what we thought we saw. You know, maybe it was just this or that. And the girls were talking about it. They saw it. They saw details that we saw. And they're telling us about it. Uncoached, unprovoked. They saw it. I mean, they remembered everything. They said the big dog, but they didn't, you know, there was no werewolf coming out of their mouths. Didn't come out of ours either because of the kids. But we go back because we're like, we're going to go check it out. It's daylight now. We're safe. We found so many footprints everywhere, all over the bank down there. It never even came out into the field that we saw, but the clothes were gone. So that's my werewolf story. Was it a werewolf or was it a dogman?
Well, the other day there was an argument on in one of the groups, and it's a relatively new group. There's new groups popping up all the time. They're not like, you know, they don't have the longevity and the strength of numbers that you guys do, obviously, but there's new groups coming in all the time. And one of these new groups is a friend of mine. She's got a group that she started, about 1,000 members now, I guess. And there was an argument, and this one woman began to argue with me about the difference between dogman and werewolves. And me, even with all the hundreds of reports that I've gotten, I don't know, you know. And she's like, well, werewolves don't have tails, and dogman do.
Yeah, that's not a differentiating factor. And we have somebody that does YouTube and put out a video, and you know who I'm talking about. Everybody probably knows who I'm talking about. He's not giving very good information, and he's telling a story, whether somebody wrote that story into him, whether he has a legitimate person that is coming up with this stuff and then getting with him and he's airing it, or he's making it up himself. I don't know. And I'm not going to get into that. I'm just going to say that the information is not credible. I've had, you know, the guy is supposed to have all this military training, and I've got guys that are military all over my friends list, all over the rosters in Dogman Believers Only, that are like, yeah, military guys don't talk like that. He doesn't have the language, you know, for one, and he would have that because that's ingrained. That is, you don't get away from it. And then besides that, you know, oh, if it has red eyes, it is this. And if it has a tail, it is that. And no, I've heard millions of encounters. I've fielded encounters. I have talked to witnesses firsthand. I've had my own encounters. There's no differentiating whether it has a tail or not, or what color its eyes are. I mean, you can go through, you know, dog man and werewolves are not dogs, but you can go through German Shepherds, just as a for instance, and you can get every color of the spectrum in their eyes. It's natural how they're born, whatever. Most of them have amber eyes, but I have encountered dogmen, their eyes are just as black as can be. Mm-hmm. But when they get up close, you can see that they have eyes. And that's the difference. Now, I can tell you 100%, when you're dealing with an SW, a lot of times they don't have eye sockets. They just have empty sockets.
Yeah, and the other morning, I was driving home from work. I was giving one of the guards a ride home that didn't have a vehicle, so I went to go pick him up down in South Austin. And we were driving by St. Edwards, and it's got woods around the campus, and it's right there in the middle of town. But it's got woods all the way around it, and there's a big field. There's fields around it, so there's a lot of like empty space. And that's a very beautiful campus. It's where the Dallas Cowboys used to train back in the 90s when they were winning Super Bowls. But so you know how long ago that was. But so anyways, we were driving and we saw these two huge canines run across the road. And my wife takes the flashlight and goes, "Oh, look at those coyotes." And when she shined the light on them, they were humongous. And I'm talking like the size of large dogs. They looked like wolves. And I told her, I said, "Those look like wolves." And one of them was brownish black, almost kind of like a German Shepherd markings, but it was weird because it was definitely not a German Shepherd. It was distinctly not a German Shepherd. And I thought maybe that's a dog. But then the other one was definitely a coyote. Like it looked more coyote like, but it had a larger head than a normal coyote. And I told my wife, I said, "Those got to be coy wolves. They absolutely have to be coy wolves." And they were massive. And one of them had just a weird color. So, you know, you're going to get every stripe of whatever when it comes to canines. You can get who knows what. I mean, you know, right? So people say, well, this one here is this kind. This one here is that kind. And, you know, you get all these so-called experts.
I think people want to be able to compartmentalize it. They want to be able to wrap their head around it. And that's the wrong way to do it. You got to let nature be nature. I mean, that's like saying every elm tree is round. You know what I mean? Because the trees, when they grow their branches out and they leaf out, they're not perfectly round. And every one of them is going to be a little bit different. That's nature. Yeah, they're going to have a basic shape. You're going to be able to look at them and go, "That's a tree." And if you really know your trees, you're going to be able to say, "Oh, that's an elm tree." But the beauty of it is that they're not all the same.
Yeah. And think about this. It's wrong to do that with a race. Like if you have a race of people, you know, you don't want to say, well, all, you know, Hispanic people look this way. You know, all Asian people, yeah, black people or white people, they all look a certain way. You don't do that.
Boy,
because
aren't those people amazed when they find out that there's natural blondes that are Mexican.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lot there are. And it's crazy because, you when you do that, you're stereotyping people. Well, the same thing could be said for these types of creatures. I mean, if we don't do it for people, why would we not do it for, you know, why do they all have to be uniform in a certain way? I mean, a shapeshifter that could shapeshift. And of course you're talking about the SWs. I know you don't want to say it, but I mean, it's, you know, what we're talking about.
Well, it's only because it's nighttime.
Yeah.
And one of these days when we talk during the day, when it's daylight, no, I'm not kidding. I will tell you my experience with SWs, and it'll horrify you.
I had a skinwalker encounter, and I don't want to get into it right now. I will eventually tell that story on the show. I talked about it with Nick Vellante. That I had an encounter. It wasn't a horrific, scary encounter. It was, but I do believe it was. That's what that was. I have no other explanation for it. Just never talk about it really because it's not because I'm afraid to. I'm not afraid of them, but I just, because I was by myself when it happened. And when you tell a story, for me, having had a lot of different paranormal experiences, and most of it I had witnesses for. So I like to talk about things that I can back up and verify with people who were there with me. But I am going to get into that at some point. But this whole phenomena, I mean, like I've been told that when you shift, like they don't necessarily perfect it. They can't always make themselves look completely like what they're trying to look like. And so you end up with something that might be kind of in between.
Yeah. And another thing with them, now, my experience, I had somebody go to multiple different vacations and to Indian reservations over several different years until they found a medicine man that was willing to come after me and kill me. So I got to deal with them firsthand coming after me. So it wasn't just an encounter. It was several years worth of horrifying experiences.
I had a guest on my show from Colorado. I'm sorry about that, Carrie. What was that?
Oh, no. I said I'm still alive. So
well, obviously.
We made it. I'm not going to poke the bear.
Yeah.
And I definitely will give them that respect as far as I'm not going to talk about them at night. I'm not going to, you know, call that fear back to me.
And fear, as this, you know, that's, we talked about that earlier. I know it's the movie Dune. I remember the book, and the fear is the mind killer. Fear is what paralyzes you. It's a mind killer. Yeah.
And
if you can get rid of fear, you can get rid of a lot. I mean,
Well, and like I said last week on the episode, you know, I looked up at those feet and I knew right then and there, if he wanted to kill me, he would get me. And he just sat there and watched me. He grinned down at me. I mean, didn't really open his mouth, but he was grinning down at me. And I just snapped my head down and I went, I'm going inside. And I didn't say anything. I just walked for the door. And that's when I realized it wasn't one. There were three on my roof. And they followed me on the roof, walking across as I walked to my door. And I had to walk up those steps. And they could have reached down and grabbed me there, too. But they didn't. And they were amused. I mean, they were like, I could hear them in my head laughing. Like, they were so amused. Because it was like, you don't need to be afraid of us. We're here to help you. Kind of amused that I was so afraid. But then after that, though, it was that point after that that I realized if you conquer your fear, I mean, I'm not telling anybody to conquer their fear and go out and hang out with Dogman. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, because I conquered my fear, I stopped creating in my head scenarios of them being evil because I wasn't afraid anymore. I knew that if they wanted to get me, they were going to get me, and there was nothing I could do about it. And I gave up to that. But then that gave me freedom to move around and observe. You know, and anymore now, I walk out my door. If I see a dog man or a canine, an upright canine, I just kind of go, oh, whatever, roll my eyes and walk away. Sometimes, you know, maybe I'll go back inside. Maybe I'll go about doing what I was going to do. But it doesn't bother me as much now because I got past that fear. And they're a lot calmer around me, too. They don't play as many games with me anymore. So I think they really just want you to get over that fear. They're not necessarily playing games. They're trying to get you to get out of that little bubble of fear. That's my impression.
So, Carrie, I had a former guest that claims that his uncle, and I believe he talked about it on our show, that he had an uncle that was actually stalked by a skinwalker that somebody had sicked on him that had gone to get this this medicine man to try to kill his uncle. And I remember him talking about that. And that's a terrifying thing to have something like that after you. But here's my question is how do you differentiate or know between Dogman, Werewolf, and the SW?
Well, first of all, the SWs aren't always going to come at you looking like a coyote. They can be any animal they happen to have the skin for. So you see that deer that's walking on four legs and its back legs don't move the same as its front legs. And then it turns around and looks at you and it's got either empty eye sockets or an unnatural light, like not the light of life. The eyes are like dead. I don't know. Taxidermied eyes always look pretty real, so it's not a very good example. But have you ever looked at something or someone and went, they're dead inside?
Yeah.
Their eyes are dead. You'd very rarely see that in an animal. And it's something I've seen quite a bit now because of that, or going through that. But they never move quite right. There's something about their movement that is off. And you're like, you know, deer grow up in their bodies. They know how to move their body. These things don't grow up in the deer's body. They don't know how to move it. And I think that's another thing that's different between a werewolf and an SW. A werewolf is born that way. They're born with the ability to shapeshift for whatever reason, however that works. They're born with the ability to shapeshift. So if they turn all the way into a dog, if they have that ability into that canine shape and go down on four legs, then they were born with that ability.
Yeah, they move more natural.
They know their motion is they're going to be more fluid. Where these SWs, they're not. And like I said, it's not just the Native American SWs.
Oh, yeah, there's different types.
There's also the Americana ones. There's also the white cultures that I say Americana. Just because that's that area of the country. And, oh, my gosh, what's around in the area where Americana comes from? I think it's called LBL.
Yeah.
You know? And all the way through the Adirondacks, the Ozarks, all the way in through there where you had the, you know, Colorado, not so much. Colorado was still the Wild West when everything on the other side of the Mississippi River was, you know, Missouri's on the west side of the Mississippi River. But, you know, I mean, it had already started being settled, and, you know. So there were Civil War battles fought in Missouri.
Yeah, Kansas and Missouri both went at it. I mean, and we talked about Leadville. Mm-hmm. Leadville was one of the places where Doc Holliday shot a guy. He actually killed somebody in the street in Leadville. So it was pretty wild. It was a very wild area.
Another thing about Leadville. Leadville, my dad's parents were bootleggers, or that's the story anyway. I can't confirm or deny, kind of a thing. But it was believed that they were bootleggers and that they would go to Leadville. Leadville was the major hub. So my dad grew up on a homestead where they came in and they claimed the land and they worked it and they built all their structures and they did everything. And, you know, it was his parents' homestead and he was born there. And they traveled by buckboard with the horse and buggy, you know, this is back in the early 1920s, 1930s, 1940s. I think by the 40s, they probably had cars, but he talked about going to Leadville when he was young with his father, not to me, but to somebody else. Leadville was so dirty. There were prostitutes. And, you know, it's not a part of Leadville's history they'd be proud of, but I've heard stories of prostitutes that were out in the open having sex with dogs. for money, like maybe behind a curtain sometimes. Disgusting, horrible, vile things that happened in Leadville. And Leadville is a very haunted, haunted town.
Yeah, I heard it was. I heard there's a hotel there that's really haunted.
Yeah, I've been in that hotel.
Yeah, I actually had a ghost encounter in Fort Collins. I haven't had anything happen other than I went with my godson in Boulder to a park, and me and Nellie and Scorpion were there, and we had gone on this trip with another friend of ours, and he had already taken off to go back home. He's married to my wife's good friend, who's a chiropractor, her name's Heather, in Round Rock, and her husband was with us on the trip, and then he had to go to fly back home. So we left him in Denver, and we drove all the way back the rest of the way. But we spent a couple of days with my guy. I had two godsons that live in Denver and then one that lives in Boulder. And so I went to visit my godson. His dad was my best friend. And so I have a lot of godchildren, actually, because, I mean, I had a lot of good friends that were like, hey, if something ever happens to me, raise my kids. And that's how close we were. And I grew up with these kids, and they're all adults now, but they're my godchildren. And so I went to visit one that I had been around and helped raise since he was 3 years old. His name's Alec. Alec, if you're listening, I know you listen to my show. But anyways, we went to this park, and I had this really weird feeling, and it felt like something touched my back. And his dad was deceased, and we were talking about his dad, who was, like I said, one of my best friends. And I could feel an energy, but it wasn't him. And then later on, when me and Scorpion and my wife were comparing notes, my wife, she was like, something felt like something was touching me. And I was like, I felt it too. It was weird. We all felt really uncomfortable at that park. Now, that's the only weird thing that happened to me there. But then when I was in Fort Collins, we had just come in, we had driven all the way almost to Cheyenne, but then you kind of cut past it and then go down, whatever that highway is. And you come down into Fort Collins. I can't think of the highway right off the top of my head.
I think I know which one you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we come down and we stay the night, and I was the first one in. And then right after that, my friend, Chris comes in and he puts the bags down and he goes back out. And so I was so exhausted, I laid down on the bed and I thought I saw my wife walk into the hotel room, and I went to start to speak to her, and I said, "Hey, honey," and I was going to tell her something. It wasn't her. There was like another woman standing there for like a split second. Then I just saw like a black blur, and I was like, whoa, what was that? But it was feminine. It was a female shape. And then right after that, Scorp came in, that's Scorpion, and my wife, they both came up at about the same time, and they were talking, and I was like, did I just see that? What was that? You know? And then like I had a weird dream in the middle of the night. And then when I was turning the hotel key in, the lady's like, "How did you sleep?" I said, "Not good." And she told me, "Yeah, which room did you have?" And I told her, and she was like, "Oh yeah, there." She's like, "That room, there was a suicide in that room." And I was like, okay, all right. And she kind of smiled, like she was, and I didn't ask if she was being serious or she was joking or what. I just was like, "Okay, thank you," and I just walked out. And I was too tired to even bother to try to get the story. And we were in a big hurry. We had to hurry to get to Denver. And I was just like, and I got in the truck and I said, "Well, I think I figured out why I had such a bad night's sleep and why everybody woke up feeling tired, and you know, why it was such a weird incident." When I walked in, I thought I saw somebody, and she said that somebody had killed themselves in that room. And I was like, "Well, that's great." But yeah, there's some weird stuff over there in Colorado, man. I mean, I know that I had a buddy that lived near Cripple Creek. He had told me about some stuff that had gone on there, you know, years ago, and that he had some weird stuff happen. But those are my two Colorado incidents. I don't have a whole lot, you know. But
there was a guy that was telling me about moving trees that get up and walk around, and my cat's going crazy. About trees that just move. And I went, "Yeah, whatever." So he was like, "No, we'll go up there and I'll show you." And I can't remember the name of the town right off the top of my head. They're gambling towns now.
Blackhawk?
Yeah, Blackhawk and Central City. So we went up there back up behind the towns, And there was gambling up there then. They just opened it up. It was like in the first year, but we went up back up behind there, and you can see the lines in the dirt where the trees had, you know, and he said, you know, and he had pictures of the trees, and they were over on the other side. The That's only explanation weird. Is that they had moved.
Kind of like the Ents from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Yeah. It creeped me out so bad. I was like, we got to get out of here. I mean, even before we got up close to where they were, I was like, this isn't someplace people should be. Not like, you know, like it was a sacred place. Like, not like it was an evil, but like it was just sacred. Like, we weren't clean enough to be there was the feeling.
I had a friend once tell me, he was in Ohio, and he said that they were hanging out outside. Now, okay, they were imbibing a little bit. But like I said before, just because you smoke something or drink something doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you're not experiencing what you experience. It just maybe heightens it a little bit.
Right.
But he claims that a tree branch whipped him in the face.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he really told me that. He told me and my brother. We were, you know, and we were just like, really? Mm-hmm. I mean, he was very, like, he goes, no, for real. Because we were talking about weird stuff because, you know, it's one of my favorite things to talk about. And, you know, we have little get-togethers after we got done at the bar. And he goes, no, I was drinking with some friends. And he goes, and then my brother was like, well, yeah, what else were you doing? You know, and he was like, well, okay, I'll be honest. It was a little more than that, but he goes, I wasn't like high out of my mind or anything. He goes, but yeah, a tree branch, like I made a joke, you know, and this is what was weird. You know, he says that the joke he made was about taking a chainsaw and cutting down a tree that of his neighbors that made him mad that it was like, you know, and so he cut it down and they couldn't prove that he did it. So that was the story he was telling, and he said that when he was telling that story, that this tree branch came and smacked him in the head in front of a bunch of people. I mean, he said that really happened to him. I don't really have any other stories of trees. There supposedly is a type of branch, a tree that is a small, kind of like a bush, and they claim that it can grab you or envelop you. And that's when I was down in Central America, mm-hmm. and they were claiming that there was this bush that could, you know, and I was like, really? You know, and I thought the natives were just kind of the locals, you know, they were just kind of messing with me about that. But I didn't see any proof of that or whatever. But yeah, I've mm-hmm. heard, that's not the first time I've heard of something like that, because I've talked to so many thousands of people, like, you know, about different weird stuff that has happened to them, you know, and I can't even keep count of how many people I've talked to even in 1 year. But yeah, I remember that distinctly because that was a very unique one-off for me to hear of a tree actually smacking someone. I have felt weird about trees, you know, and I saw a tree branch move by itself one time, but it was in a haunted area where me and Scorpion worked, and we had both seen it at the same time. Like, we saw this tree branch like go up and down, and we looked at each other and we were like, dude, what was that? And he had seen it before. Like, he had told me that he once saw it move before, but that tree, it looked like the perfect tree, like you could hang somebody from. And it looked like how if you were to hang someone, that it just kind of goes up and down. And then there was a weird thing where my truck was parked in front of that building, and it felt like something jumped in the back of my truck. And that's a whole nother. Oh. Yeah, it was weird. Like, I'll just tell you. Okay, yeah. Something. I was in the morning. I was just about to get off, and I was eating a breakfast taco. And I just was I had run up to the street real quick and got a breakfast taco, and I was sitting there waiting for my last 20 minutes. And there was this guy every morning that sat at the bus stop like clockwork. I'll never forget because he looked like my Uncle Jaime, and I was like, I'd always wave at him. He'd wave at me, and then there was this older guy who would come walking through, power walking like clockwork every morning. It was like all three of us were there every morning for like 2 months, and this was toward the end of my tour there at that place. We only had a few days left, and the project was going to be over with, and they had told me, hey, Friday's the last day, and this was like Tuesday, and so I was sitting there, and something jumped or fell into the back of my truck, and it was loud, and it made me bounce in my truck, and I almost hit my head on the roof, and I thought, what the F was that? And so I just was stunned, and the guy across the street, I look over, and he's staring right at me, and he's standing up holding his coffee. The guy that was walking by was like in mid-walk, and he stopped, and they both looked at me, looked at each other, and then they both came walking across the street. And so I thought that I was going to find some like cement bags or a homeless person had jumped. I was hoping to God that it wasn't a homeless person that had jumped in the back of my truck. And so I got, because there were homeless people around there. That's why I was there, to keep them out of the building. And so I thought, oh my gosh, what am I going to find? Did somebody throw something off of the roof? Because I know that Scorpion had expurgated somebody that was sleeping off of that roof, and maybe they threw something. They were angry. So I go and I look in the back of the truck, and there's nothing there. And the other two guys, they came walking up, and they were like, hey, what's up? And we had been seeing each other every day for months, you know, during the weekdays. And we all kind of expected to see something, and they were like, huh. And the older guy was like, well, that was weird. I goes, I heard something, and I saw your truck move, and I thought for sure something had fallen into your truck. And the guy across the street, he was a Hispanic guy, and he was like, oh, man. He goes, I thought I was going to see a cocuy back there, you know. And there was nothing. There was absolutely nothing, and that was the weirdest thing that happened to me at that site. And there were a couple of the weird things that happened there. So I've had some weird stuff happen to me in those some of the places that I've worked at. They demolished that place, and it's literally down the road from a haunted bank building that I worked at, that I talked to when I had my friend Tony Duran on the show. And I'm going to get into what happened at that building. It's literally right down the street from there. And so, yeah, that building is no longer there. I think Willie Nelson actually had bought that building, and then they demolished it, and he was going to do something with it, I think, and then he never did. And then we were doing the security for him, and then it just for the company, and then they decided, well, you know what, it's too much hassle, we're just going to tear it down. And I think they're building like a parking garage there now or something. It's under construction, but that place was haunted for sure. Do what?
No, parking garage joy.
Yeah, I know. And the parking garage in the building that I worked at a block away from there was haunted along with the building, too. I had an experience in there, but that's another show. But yeah, it was crazy. Like, you're talking about trees moving and stuff. I've not heard a lot of stories like that, but I have heard someone else say that trees can move. And I've never really put much stock into it. But I did have somebody claim that a heavy tree branch smacked him in the head. And, you know, I asked him too. I was like, did it give you a concussion? And he's like, I don't know. Maybe. He goes, you know, it kind of stunned me, you know. And it was like he was like, I was talking about using a chainsaw on another tree, and this tree smacked me in the head. So, so take that for what it's worth. You know, it was, you know, and at that building that I was just telling you about, there was a phantom dog too. There was a black dog. He wasn't big either. It was like a mid-sized mutt, you know, and he had kind of curled hair, like how poodles look. And it wasn't like a big menacing demonic hellhound. It was just a normal black dog. And I was sitting there eating my lunch one night, and which, you know, at night shift, your lunch is like 2 a.m. And I just saw this dog kind of trotting through the alley. And then I saw him turn and just go into the building. And I thought, oh, that dog just went to the building. So I was like, I better get him out of there. He didn't look big and menacing or anything. So I got out and I walked over there, and it's a solid brick wall. And so I was like, okay, and then one time I nodded off, and my truck shook, and I woke up and I thought I saw people around it. And then I shook my head and they were all gone. And I distinctly remember seeing like what I thought was like a blonde haired man and woman, like in front of my window. And so that was weird. And then there was a guy that me and Scorpion both seen, who was wearing like what looked like and there's a local high school that's kind of close to there, you know, and he was wearing their colors, and he would walk with what looked like a trumpet or clarinet case or whatever. I think it would be like, you know, like a trumpet case. And I would see him walk in the mornings. A couple times I saw him walk, and then I would look, and I'd never see him go past my truck. And I was like, well, that's weird. So one day I asked Gary, you know, Scorpion, I said, do you ever see anything weird over there? Because we hadn't compared notes yet, you know, and he was like, yeah. And I was like, okay, like what? Because I didn't want to say it and then him go, oh, yeah, that's what I saw. I wanted to hear him say it, you know. And he goes, well, yeah. He goes, I saw a dog jump through the wall one time. And I was like, you're kidding me. He goes, no, for real. And then there was another guy that worked there for a little bit named Travis. And it's weird because the place was actually called Travis House. And this guy, Travis, worked there. So it's kind of a coincidence. So we asked him, And I said, "Hey, Travis, have you seen anything over there?" He's like, "You mean the guy with the purple, the shirt, the bluish jacket, whatever, purplish bluish jacket?" You couldn't tell if it was purple or blue, but there's a high school not far from there that's, you know, so I thought that's probably what it was. It looked like a Letterman jacket. And he goes, "Yeah, I've seen them." And he disappeared literally in the alley. And I said, "Yeah." And so me and Scorpion were both kind of freaked out. We're like, "Dude, that's crazy," because we all saw the same phenomena, and it was weird. But anyway, that's a little bit ghost stuff there, you know.
Yeah, repeating energy. Well, so the invisible people, or clear people is what I call them, because they're out there, and there's starting to be more reports of them. A lot, I think, because David Politis has brought up encounters with them.
You mean like the Glimmer Man, the Shimmering Man?
Well, I think that's what people are calling them. I've always called them clear people because you can kind of see them. And it really is kind of like Halo.
Yeah, we just did,
you know,
the show.
You play
on
Halo
that, yeah.
And they cloak. I don't know what they are, but I had an experience in Gypsum. Well, my son had a couple of experiences where he turned around and caught something was there when he was taking care of the horses and we were in Dot Zero. And it was like, he said it was a reptilian and he was sure it was a reptilian. And he was talking about Halo. And then he showed me the monster from Halo and how it would cloak. And he said, that's what it looked like. But I don't know how he feels about that now. But anyway, he said it was like it threw its hands up and ran, like, without screaming, but like it should have been screaming, through the red reeds. And he watched the red reeds part as it ran down to the river and jumped in the water. And he saw the water move. And then I saw something similar happen, you know, a few days, weeks, something like that after that. So they were definitely down around that area. And, you know, we had seen them several times, but we had a lot of experience with Bigfoot. And I don't think they're Bigfoot. They're something different. I don't know what they are, but they're definitely, they don't get too far away from the river. But then I was in my house and I had a boyfriend that I had broken up with, and he stalked me for 2 years. And somewhere around the time he committed suicide, and that came back to me, and it was sometime around when he had committed suicide, but he would come into my house when I wasn't there, and I never could figure out how he was getting in, because we changed the locks, we made sure all the windows were locked, you know, we just never could figure out how he was getting in. But he'd come in and he'd rearrange the furniture in the house. He'd take all my food out of the pantry and, you know, take it to his house. And, I mean, just do horrible things like that. Take my money, whatever. And we went through that for 2 years. And you'd walk in the house, you never knew what you were going to find. So I think it was right after, like, probably a good couple of months after he had died. And I just had this really horrible feeling when I walked into the house, and I'm like, but I know he's dead. So it can't be. But I'm walking around, all my cats, and I had several cats at the time, were acting peculiar. I mean, like really weird, like following me, like around me, like we're protecting you, mom. And, I walked into my bedroom and I'm checking windows. My son went into his room. I think we'd come home at the same time. He went into his room, which is at the other end of the trailer, and it was like a 78-foot trailer. So, I mean, he was clear at the other end of the house. I walk in my room, and as I walk in, I'm along the east wall. And my bed's to my right, and the light is on the top in the middle of the room. And I walked around the end of the bed and walked over to check those windows, because one of the things that my ex-boyfriend would do is he would unlock all the windows. So I'm checking the windows, and I turn around, just have that feeling like I'm being watched. And I turn around and there is a man's shadow on my wall, on the east wall, across the room from me. And this dude was big. He was ripped. He was muscular. He was massive, but it was man. And I'm like, as soon as he realized, because I turned around and I saw the shadow and I'm like, what the f-? Sorry if I'm not allowed to cuss. I mean, I literally just went, whoa. And must have shown on my face, because as soon as he realized I saw him, he got agitated. His body language got agitated, his shadow. And then he turned around and ran down the hall, and you could hear his footsteps, booking it down the hall, opened the front door, and ran out the front door without, and left it open. And I'm like right running behind him. I had to go around my bed. I think I went over my bed running, because I'm trying to figure out what this is. But I mean, I lived not very far from a military base, less than 3/4 of a mile from the end of the runway of the airport in Gypsum. And there is a HATS training facility on that, at that airport. Is that what it was? Maybe. Was it a entity? Maybe. I've never heard a ghost make footsteps like that. But it was there, and it was physical, and it didn't walk through the wall. He opened the door. That is bizarre. So it's just another one to chalk up to. I said I had a weird life.
Yeah. Yep. You definitely have. But you know what? So have I. I mean, we've all had some weird stuff happen to us. That's why we are in the groups and the things that we do. That's why we do what we do, you know, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. I've enjoyed my conversations with you. You have a lot of, and Nelly, you know, was looking so forward to hearing your story, you know, you know, the thing is, I guess, you know, to tell the listeners, like, you have not talked a lot. You have not been really forthcoming about your experiences. Like, you haven't been like on a lot of shows or anything like that.
Well, I was going to do Vic's show years ago and, was trying to get my feet under me a little bit better. And I wasn't in a very good situation financially. And I had a phone that was just nothing but garbage. And I had a lot of issues going on in my life right at the moment. And it just wasn't a good time for me. And I had all this stuff going on. So maybe I should have, but I didn't. I don't know. There's that fear of coming forward. I think with, you know, a lot of people that have experiences with Dogman, especially, you know, with Bigfoot, you get it to an extent. But with Dogman, it's more, you feel like that cryptid is in your head and they're telling you, don't talk about this. And I did kind of go through that a little bit, I think. And I wanted to talk about it. I wanted to get these things out there, but I didn't want to face the ridicule. But then I don't really want the fame or the glory or whatever. I mean, I think if you have the information, I'm not going to go to the rooftops and yell it. But if people come to me and want to talk about, especially if they want to talk about getting their experience out and be heard, I'm there. You know, because I've been there. I understand. And I think that the big thing is, why are they coming to you? You know, I've heard every idea of why cryptids come to people or why ghosts come to people that are sensitive or whatever. But you have to be heard, and there has to be somebody out there willing to listen. I know what ridicule is about. I've been ridiculed. I know what that fear is. But I've also, along the way, because I have had so many encounters, I'm an anomaly among people. And I had somebody tell me at one point that there was a couple of guys that had wanted to try to get me to go out on a on an excursion under the guise of research, and that they had wanted to put me into a box and hang me from a tree and use me as bait in that way.
Because you were an experiencer.
Because see if I could get XYZ cryptid to come out so that they could get it. And that terrifies me.
That is scary.
I mean, those kinds of things are, you know, those are horrible things to do to other people. And I don't care how scary the cryptid is, people are a lot scarier.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question, Carrie. And this is, okay, so if you had to put a label or categorize these cryptids like Bigfoot, you know, the different types of Bigfoot, it can be any, I mean, just putting what you think they are, you know, and then Dogman and then werewolves, the SWs, as they call, you call them. What, like what is the nature of these creatures? Like, let's start with Dogman. Like, what is its nature?
Honestly, my experiences with Dogman, I don't think that they are dangerous to us. I think that they're out there to protect us from something else. Now, obviously, if they have a den, yeah, they're not going to want you around it.
So they're completely flesh and blood to you?
No, not entirely. I think they have the ability to manifest in flesh and blood. But they're not like us in that regard. I used to try to tell people, if you understand what the world really is, then you can more clearly understand what Dogman is. And this is my impression of Dogman. The world is cells, molecules, and atoms pushed together, moving at frequency. So nothing is really solid. We only perceive it as being solid.
If people only knew the true nature. Yeah, you're right.
We don't have control. We being just regular humans that don't have that extra ability. We don't have control over our cells, molecules, and atoms. They do. So if they do, I mean, I have fielded so many reports of a Dogman starting out the size of a regular medium-sized dog and then turn into a gargantuan 11-foot-tall buffalo-sized Dogman. I've heard that on numerous occasions from people that were horrified by the experiences that they had. None of those people got hurt. None of those people, I mean, they heeded, they paid attention. They were like, okay, we're getting out of here. We will leave. You know, whatever the reason, they want you to turn around and get the hell out of there. When I had Dogman show up in Gypsum, that was right on the tail end of having dealt with the SWs. The SWs disappeared out of my life after that point. I stopped having those issues.
And as far as werewolves, what are the nature of those?
Werewolves, I think their nature is just like people. They're people.
And they're born with the ability.
Yeah, you know, but just like people, you know, you're walking into a store and the person behind you happens to be a werewolf and you let that door slam in their face. Is that going to piss them off? You know, it's a polite society is a better society for everybody to live in. But I wouldn't want to be the one that dropped the door in the face of the werewolf. And I don't have any extra ability to know, to look at a person and go, oh, you're a werewolf. Or, oh, you're a feline shifter, or, oh, you're a whatever. You can turn into this, or you can turn into that, or, oh, that person over there is has this ability or that ability. I can't look at people and determine that. I'm just human like everybody else. Now, I'm more sensitive than most people, and I do have a very good intuition, but, you know, I'm not going to run around half-cocked and go, oh, hey, there's a werewolf. That's not my job. But I think that they're just people, and I think that being that they're people doesn't mean, you know, another differentiating factor is that there are those out there that practice dark magic and they use it to shapeshift. But there's also people out there that practice old custom magic and they're not doing it in a selfish fashion. And they're, when they're transforming, they're still doing good things for their people or for people in general. Those people aren't evil. The ones that are doing it for selfish reasons are evil. So, I mean, it's not, you know, it's not like five squares on a piece of paper. It's more like all the facets on a diamond. There's so many things that go into it. You can't, I don't know. My impression of the SWs is that they're just flat evil, that they're doing so for a bad reason. And they're doing so selfishly. And there's perversions in their method.
And what about the,
what about the
Sasquatch, Bigfoot, like they're different types. They're all,
you know, it wouldn't surprise me that there's different types out there. I've seen the ones that seem more like they're tall and thin. But I've seen them all together. The ones that are more like Patty and the ones that are more like a beanpole, more like a Chewbacca, I guess. You know, because Chewbacca was tall and more thin, more like a basketball player compared to a football player. I have, at this point in my life, based on my experiences, I would turn my back on a dog man and walk away. I wouldn't turn my back on a Bigfoot. I don't think that Bigfoot are evil. I don't think they have a maniacal purpose. But I think that if you have a group of, say, 10 of them, and 9 of them like you and think you're pretty cool and they just want to watch you, one of them might get the idea that they don't like you. And if one of those 10 doesn't like you, those other 9 aren't going to stop it from getting you if it wants to. And I've reasons to back that up, but I mean, I've never been got by Bigfoot, but I have definitely felt that there's some of them that could definitely turn aggressive and nasty. And all it would take would be the other 9 looking the other way. You know, or walking away or not being right there at that moment.
People have a tendency to try and like, so a lot of times, you know, the dog man is a vicious and malicious creature, but that Bigfoot are this benevolent, benign forest giant people that just live happily. That's not been my experience. Most of the time dog men are the stories I get, they're sinister at best, and at worst they're aggressive. And with Bigfoot, it's kind of the same thing. I mean, they're not nice.
Yeah.
I mean, they're territorial, angry, aggressive.
In Texas, you guys have, I think Texas and Florida have the most aggressive and nasty Bigfoots that have been reported. Yeah. And
well, you could throw a dog man in there too.
You watch that video, Torn Up Camp, if you can find it, and then you get that guy's name from that video and research his story. He explains everything. He did several interviews. Some of those interviews are still up. But that was a Bigfoot that did that, from what he said. But he's told a lot of information, and that Torn Up Camp thing happened in a national park in Texas. And Texas has, like, I don't know, David Politis in his video interviews has said that there were so many reports of missing 411 type behavior in Texas and Florida that he'd have to write a separate book for those two states. And that's phenomena separate from Bigfoot and Dogman. So what is going on in Texas that they're that much more aggressive?
Everything's bigger
and nasty.
Yeah,
everything's bigger in Texas. So, you know, and Austin, you guys got the bats. You got the crazy, you know. Keep it weird.
Yeah, the bats are pretty cool. We got... There are a couple bridges where the male bats live, and then there's one big bridge on Congress where all the female bats live. They don't live in the same colonies, but they're you know, and they're everywhere. But I can tell you this, they're pretty docile. I don't mind them. I love bats. They're really amazing creatures. And
they're not bad. I mean, you don't want them in your house.
But no, the creature you have to worry about out in the woods in Texas more than any other creature, and folks, I'm not kidding. I'm absolutely telling you right now, the hogs, absolutely. I will see people walking and jogging and just oblivious. And you can tell they're not from here. They move here from somewhere else, and they move to these suburban areas. Austin is one big arboreal forest. It's just one big forest. That's all it is. The whole city is just one big forest with all kinds of creeks and waterways and little in a river that runs through it. And then it kind of pulls into a town lake, and then the town lake moves into to a river that becomes Lake Austin. Lake Austin becomes Lake Travis. It's just a lot of water, a lot of bridges, and a lot of parks, and a lot, and there are woods all throughout Austin. It's just wooded. There's woods. Some of them have disappeared. Some of them are disappearing. But there's still a lot of woods, even with all the development. There's a lot of woods. And people don't realize that these hogs live in these heavily wooded areas, and they will rush out at hikers and joggers. And the thing that gets me is the news doesn't, it's like they're trying not to report it, because my friend's mom got attacked by a hog and she told the police. It didn't make the news. I mean, you're not hearing about it on the 7 o'clock, or what is it, 9 o'clock news. Like, hey, woman was attacked by the... Nope, because Austin's like, la, 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 la. Want everybody to think it's all happy and good and just come on, keep moving here. But there is a lot of dangerous stuff, and there are a ton of deer, and they will live in your yard. And during, you know, rutting, I'm telling you, these deer attack people too. I mean, I've heard of that too happening. Buddy of mine got cornered. People. They kill people, yeah. These bucks are out of control too. I mean, yeah.
They can. I mean, most of the fatalities from deer happen with a car involved, because, yeah, you know, they come to the windshield, the accident, whatever. But that's why they account for so many deaths. But they actually do kill people, too. Mm-hmm. They will attack people, and they can kill you.
They're bucks. Yeah, they're mean. And so that's the lay of the land here in Austin. So folks, that's gonna do it for me and Carrie tonight. We appreciate you tuning in to Paranormal Roundtable.
Oh, hey, can I throw one more thing in?
Sure.
Can I throw in one more thing?
Sure.
So before anybody says that I'm saying that all of the upright canines in LBL are werewolves, that's not what I said. What I'm saying is that part of Americana includes LBL, and, you know, maybe there are a few werewolves in LBL, but yes, we know there's Dogman in LBL too. Just wanted to clarify.
That's cool. And, there's definitely a, shapeshifter type element there. I got a story from the Appalachian area that of a faith healer that it confronted a shapeshifter that was doing damage. And I'll get into that story eventually on the show, folks. But for tonight, that's going to do it. And thanks for clarifying that, Carrie. And I appreciate you having you on. And folks out there at home listening, I appreciate you guys tuning in. This is another part of the Dogman series that we were going to be doing, talking about Dogman and bringing people on to talk about it. And Carrie, you were definitely a very unique and important individual in the Dogman community. Your group, Dogman Believers Only, guys, go check it out. It's a very good group, and it's a very old and big group. It's got a lot of people, and her and Cindy do a pretty good job at that group, and I've been a member of it for a long time. So for everybody here at Paranormal Roundtable, and for me and from my team and my co-host tonight, Carrie Eaton, good night.